Blog Talk Radio.
It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who are still confused after having to round up the euro in hexadecimal, it's Patch and Switch.
I came back with a huge pile of coins, but I chose at the last moment to leave the entire stack of euros inside my room for the cleaning staff.
Yeah? Was it the euro coin?
All the coins.
Well, you probably left them like 45 euros.
Easily. But then I also left them some dollar tips as well, just to say thanks a lot for looking after me for all those days.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Hey, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, I'm just barely clawed my way into the room. I'm surprised the biohazard people have let me through the various different checks that we have here at the bunker.
Well, I think you're on the mend. I think you're just a little bit out of sorts.
If you historically went back and looked at the video of us doing the show in Barcelona,
you would actually never know, really. Yeah. I mean, because I'm with you every morning here, and Friday mornings we're not at our brightest.
It's like,
so
it's literally I think you can tell. I don't know. I think you can tell.
There are moments. There are moments where you're just basically leaned back in the chair, phased out, and I'm trying to ask you a question and you're not paying attention. Again, this is why we don't like cameras in the room.
Yeah.
So I heard there's a rumor going around that the new bunker may actually have video capability.
We can start to reveal some new details about this because the proof of concept actually worked. We're going to be using Azure streaming services.
Oh, really?
So the idea is to have this mobile kit that is going to be set up inside the bunker.
Yeah.
And the mobile kit is the first proof of concept, Gen 1, if you will, of a bunch of different devices that will allow us to literally walk in, picture this, you and me walk in, plug in our laptops, and then be able to initiate a content stream from the laptop of both audio and video up to the Azure world, and then back down onto players, and then also have chat room capabilities. And then because it is Channel 9 stuff, they'd like to also include some video. So they're going to have some, I guess you would say, Howard Stern-esque kind of wide-angle cameras of the table looking at us that we don't have to worry about focusing.
Well, so, we actually have to worry about focus, at least our focus, right? Well, wait, there's nothing new. We've never done
that
in this show.
Never had focus that way.
Hey, everybody, want to welcome everybody back. We're back from Barcelona. We're back on Blog Talk Radio. We do have folks in the chat room, so a shout-out to One Wise Geek, Bjarne, Mr. Enrique, Frederick. It was great to see you last week. Jay Shock, Ledwig, and Sean Lowe.
We do have to call out that we have no idea if any of this audio is working because our audio engineer is not in the room with us today. So we're doing all audio monitoring remotely via the chat room. So you guys and gals in the chat room are playing an extremely important role this morning to let us know that you can actually hear us.
It does look like in the chat room that nobody's complained that they're not hearing from us.
That's good. But then, we might be.
Of course, who knows if they're even paying attention.
Yeah. All I know is it's better than last week's stream or last live stream when we...
Time zone difficulty.
Miscalculated the time zone issues that we happen to have. And in case you are following on the Blog Talk Radio, our RSS feed, I just uploaded the audio this morning and replaced the 1 hour of silence with the proper amount of audio that came off the Channel 9 site.
And, of course, you can always go to channel9.msdn.com, take a look at the Channel 9 live sessions, everything that you did while we were there, including the amazing episode of the Patch and Switch show. And that was a little bit wild and crazy. I mean, normally when we do a live show, we get a great audience, and I have to again shout out everybody who joined us there live. That was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool to look over and we had a celebrity joining us in the audience. It was fantastic.
Now, I'm pretty sure that she does not listen to the show regularly, but she enjoyed conversations around beer, among other things. And so Ms. Mary Jo Foley actually showed up and was hanging out and tweeting with the rest of them.
The Twitter stream was pretty fun. A little delayed. I'm pretty sure there's just no good internet in Spain.
No, it's weird.
I just, I couldn't do my normal show. So, I mean, I had to cancel that. I couldn't even get my file uploaded to somebody else to run with. And I think the only place we had decent internet was actually plugged in where they were actually doing the streams from Channel 9. But no, regardless, it was a fantastic time, though. You had a bit of a battle.
Let's just say that was probably absolutely no fault to the event organizers, or anything else like that. But that was the worst event I've ever been to, solely because of the fact that I got sick. Normally, I'm the guy that's got carrying the Purell, bumped up on the vitamin C, and everything else like that to try to do my best to stay healthy, because you have to be, quote-unquote, on all the time.
Well, particularly, I mean, day one and two was just insanity. Yeah.
So I managed to stay alive for day one and day two, but then after that, I literally had a very rapid decline into the point where I self-quarantined myself into the hotel room and went down.
So, for like 4 days.
And I'm still on the mend. Like, it's crazy. I've never been this sick before.
This is the first time I've seen you back in the bunker.
It was the first time I've been back in the building altogether.
Yeah.
I've been hanging out and resting at home, and it's not already the jet lag. So take your vitamins.
Yes.
Watch out for conferences, because, you know, you're around 4,000 people, 6,000 people.
You started feeling poorly just after we landed, so I think you had that going in.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Crazy. It was too bad. It was a fantastic event. I do have to say the keynote, based on the feedback from folks, as well as I've gone back and watched it again.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. I mean, there are some moments, right, as always. You know, we always strive to do a little bit better, but I thought it was a great keynote. I thought the foundation sessions were fantastic.
Yeah. I like how they wove the audience of IT professional throughout the entire keynote, but they still managed to weave in developer pieces as well, without alienating one or the other audience.
They didn't seem to have this hard cut that this is developer. It's just there was developer story, you know, woven throughout. Absolutely. So I thought it was great.
Kudos to those guys. In case you guys don't know, we know some of the folks that actually organized the keynote. It's a very interesting negotiation and process.
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely.
But they did
a
fantastic job for that one.
I also have to thank everybody who came to our session.
Yeah.
Where we basically propped you up on a stool.
I don't remember any of it.
Well, I do have to say that we are literally 1/10 of a point from being one of the top 10 sessions.
Well, I haven't even looked at the.
Yeah, we're 1/10 just outside the top 10. But
so everyone that was there, make sure that you go in and complete an eval.
Yeah, I think evals are still open.
It's still open until the 15th or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, you can watch the session back on Channel 9 and see how sick Rick really is and how
people tweeted.
It was bad because I was leading the whole session. It was crazy.
Rick's Tilly hat actually had to come off the head and was seated prominently, just so you know. People were concerned that I didn't have the hat on, but seated prominently beside me on the podium, and you could see him on the screen. So he got his view, but I was so hot that I couldn't have anything on my head.
Yeah. No, I mean, we literally propped up. We had you duct taped to the stool.
I was hanging on to the side at one point because I was going lightheaded.
We were going to seatbelt you in, but we were worried if the stool fell over that you'd go down to him and we'd never pick you back up from that one.
Oh, the trials and tribulations of conference.
But we made it happen. Yeah. We made it happen. It was a fantastic. I went back. I watched a lot of day one, the Channel 9 Live segments because I was there, but when you're there in that moment and I was running a lot of the Q&A, I didn't get a chance to really listen to a lot of what's happening because you're going through a lot of questions, deciding, you know, working with, you know, if we have executives, working with the folks from PR, and, you know, having side conversations and everything else to determine what questions go live. There were some pretty awesome interviews considering how sick you really were. So well done, my friend. Well done.
I think it's pulling a horseshoe out is what that one's called.
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, this is a call-in show.
People can call in if they actually want it.
It is audience participation. So if you have the Skypes.
And you also have a Blog Talk Radio account.
But you want to sign up for free.
Get the free one. Scroll down the list if you want to have some level of visibility and notoriety inside the chat room. And I mean, in all honesty, this is a call-in show, but we get almost all of our interaction
via
the chat room.
Yes.
So at least get yourself identified inside the chat room. You could do a Skype call.
Yes.
You could actually click on the link and the button on the page or something like that. I've never actually done it as a person, but it's possible. And then you could interact with us if you wanted to, or you could use good old-fashioned POTS line of 646-595-4888 to give us a call. But we have five segments to the show, and we just kind of covered our banter at the very beginning. It's the unofficial segment at the start of everything else like that. But then we normally traditionally start out with a segment that is called From the Trenches. Now,
yes.
Don't have a fancy soundboard. Need to come up with a sound. Looking for suggestions on what that sound should be. I'm thinking it's going to be something like the whirring of hard drives or maybe the posting of a server or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, man.
From the Trenches. I've actually got a story, even though the fact that I've been out of commission for most of this week, from Barcelona. I still have something I've been working on that's been doing it for a while.
Well, by all means.
If you'd like me to share it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, as you know, our demo infrastructure is a remote lab that we have access to, and we've done some revamps to it, gotten rid of the SANs, put in the other storage spaces stuff and things like that. I've been trying to stay away from using vNext server or threshold server. vNext server is the official name currently because it's technical preview. And haven't put any of that inside the lab in production environments because, you know, it's there for demos.
You don't need to be putting...
Right.
Preview software in production.
It's just to stay away from that. But what I do have to do is get my demos up and working again because, as you saw, as us using the demo infrastructure,
yes,
my eval time period was about to expire,
yes,
on our Hyper-V hosts,
yes,
two of them. And so I figured, hey, well, I got a key. I'll just plug a key in. Didn't work. Can't put a standard key in. Can't put a data center key in. Will not do anything to be able to accept the key. Pain in the butt. And I just had the default eval image from the vendor.
Well, we used to have hardware. A KMS server running in that environment. Is it no longer there?
I pointed it to the KMS server. It doesn't work.
Because
for some reason, I've never had this problem before, even though it is eval software.
Yeah.
Normally, you can plug a key in and it converts it.
Converts it,
on.
Yeah.
It's not working for me, dude. I don't know what the heck's going on.
I have to check the version that we're running.
So, whichever it happens to be, I said, oh, well, let's just take one of these nodes, the two-node cluster, and we'll just upgrade it to 2012 R2 data center. We'll do it remotely.
Sure.
Mount the ISO file.
Because that can never go poorly.
Mount the ISO file, go off and launch setup and do an in-place upgrade, and then everything's all working all just fine. Does the reboot, doesn't come back.
Uh-oh.
So I'm probably sitting at a prompt there somewhere. And the worst part is that I forget the IP address of the remote admin board on that box. Normally I can just hit a Java console, and then I have full access to the system, restart the power and all sort of stuff. But I forget what the freaking IP address is because it has been moved around. We've changed the infrastructure over there. We've changed IP addressing over there. So I actually am glad that I'm here today because I have to physically go and visit the server rooms to be able to plug in the console to figure out what's going on with that guy. Pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Because I need this because I'm speaking at Tech Mentor Orlando,
yeah,
in November, and I got to make sure my demos are all happy.
I like Sean Lowe. Sean Lowe's got a suggestion for the sound for From the Trenches, the old pew, pew, pew sound that the hard drives, old hard drives used to make occasionally. The clicking, maybe the clicking sound. I don't know if anybody would get the whirring and clicking. Though it's a pretty obvious sound, that click.
Maybe even we just like Great. Fade in like the Great. Sound of the cooling fans in a server rack or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look at that. We'll have to look into that. Also, Pat Starma, Strama, blah, 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 has joined us, as has Jim, XPEI dude. Who else has joined us? I didn't say, I think that's everybody. Did I say hi to Ludwig? Did I say hi to him?
No, he's joined us.
Yeah, Ludwig's joined us. So I think, is he cruising? Is he on a vacation again?
No, but I hear he's...
You might want to talk into the microphone.
Sorry.
You're not wearing one as you lean back across the room.
I hear he's not feeling well. So our thoughts are out to Mr. Ludwig.
Yeah.
You know,
J-Shock's down too.
I know, man. And I swear I didn't touch any of them.
Allegedly.
How about you, man? Any From the Trenches story? Because you've actually been at work in the bunkers.
I have. I've actually, you know, the thing is, I've actually been in meetings, a lot of meetings, you know, with some new stuff that's happening in the world. But I've been doing a lot of things. I think it was just kind of a lot of teardown from the demos that we did at TechEd Europe. There's a lot of Azure stuff running still. I just needed to get stopped and pull out some of the files so that I had them for future if we ever do this. I do have to say, I got an interesting email today.
What?
You have to talk into the microphone there, Switch. Ludwig, long weekend at Disney World 2 weeks from today. Ah, I got you beat, buddy. I'm in Disneyland in a week. Less than a week. 6 days from now.
Is there a difference between land and world?
Yes. One's in California, the other's in Florida. Florida is significantly larger as they've got multiple parks, but Disneyland has two parks, Disneyland and California Adventure. And, I, of course, most people know I go almost annually at this time. I thought I would be missing the Christmas festivities. I love the park when it's all decked out for Christmas, though. Just saw an amazing commercial on TV with Mater singing Christmas Carol, which was awesome. And it showed the dates of the Christmas festivities, and it is it begins the day I arrive.
Nice.
So it's actually the day before I hit the park that it starts. So when we get to the park, everything should be up and all decked out and laid out in Christmas. But anyway, back to my story that I was telling. And I got an interesting email just this morning about a webinar that's going on that somebody thinks that I need to attend on Windows Server 2003 end of life.
You've got to attend it? Sorry, I just spilled my coffee here.
And the funny part about that, yes, Enrique, he did just ask if there is a difference between land and world. He's Canadian. He doesn't understand. The funny thing is that that was the session that we did at TechEd Europe. We've also done that session in one iteration or another at TechEd Europe, TechEd North America for probably the last 5 years. So I thought that was rather amusing. I just think it's funny. I mean, I know I'm on some mailing list somewhere, but yeah.
Nice. Actually, you know what? Not long after TechEd Europe, our good friend Jose Barreto, published a beautiful blog post about file server migration.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very
cool.
Was it kind of based on some of the stuff we talked about in our session?
Yeah, and also calls out the same things that I call out and you call out as well, with either using the built-in tools that you have or else using the good old-fashioned robocopies and stuff like that. So he goes through some very good step-by-steps about how to do some file server migration stuff.
Yeah. Ludwig, you're absolutely right. Both places of the Disney places are awesome, but big differences. There are big differences. The biggest one for me is the fact that I'm not on a flight for 6 hours across the country.
Nice.
Going
like
from
I will be.
One extreme end. Yeah, like you're going to be doing in a couple of weeks, but you will be like right there, right by the Disney Worlds.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. And at Christmas time, it's. I have to say, Disney Christmas time is fantastic. I'm ready for the holidays. I really am. Well, I'm ready for my holiday because this is the first vacation I've taken in quite some time where I'm literally going to be turning off email sync on my phone. Probably not going to be doing a lot of social media interaction unless it's selfies of me and the mouse. That's pretty much it. I just plan on complete disconnecting to everything. I just need to. It's that time again. I need to recharge the mental batteries.
I'm just so you know, I'm not ignoring you when I'm looking at my phone right now.
Oh, that's all right. I'm used to it.
I'm trying to find.
People can go back and watch the Channel 9 show where you're just pretty much not paying attention.
Nice. No, there's a good friend Heike.
Yes, German intern.
Published out a link about a new Windows Phone app that allows you to manage your Azure subscription and VMs.
Oh, really?
That basically you can go in and using Azure Automation have a demo set fire up and a demo set shut down all through your Windows Phone device. And I was looking to see if it installed on my phone as of yet, but it has not.
And now is that an official Microsoft app? Or
it was developed by a third-party MVP individual, I do believe.
Awesome.
But it just hit the stores recently, and I was going to see if I could see it and authenticate to see what I could do with my Azure subscription. So,
Ludwig, I'm with you. Disneyland is Walt's park. I mean, you can definitely tell because Walt passed away before Disney World was open, but it has those special touches. Haunted Mansions, Pirates of the Caribbean are better there. I have to also say Fantasmic, one of the big shows, is actually, personally, I find it better at Disneyland as it's built around the big island, the Rivers of America that are there versus having its own kind of staged venue. It was really cool what they did. Basically, when you visit Rivers of America during the day, you know, they've got the boats going around and you can go over to Tom Sawyer's Island and everything. You would never know that they do a show there. And then in the evening, from under the ground, the big light towers come up. They convert everything to a stage, and the boats come across as part of the show. It's absolutely fantastic. As well, as Ludwig appropriately points out, Trader Sam's at the Disneyland Hotel. Fantastic tiki bar. I have shut that place down more times than I should probably admit. In fact, I've actually gone there when we've done events that are not even at Disneyland, but right there at that convention center that's there in Anaheim. I actually go over there to enjoy a little bit of time there. So it's
absolutely. One of these days I should probably go.
Like, yeah, no, it's a great time, and the what I'm really looking forward to is when the little ones aren't so little anymore. They're at that age where you can kind of let them loose. But the best part is that we're going with our neighbors from Texas, one of which was their I don't want to call her a nanny. She's just part of the family, right? She just lived a couple doors down. So I think there's going to be a lot of time where I'm not chasing around kids.
See, my issue is that one of my girls, because as you know, I've got twins. One of the girls is not adventurous and does not like rides at all. So basically that means that one of the adults has to kind of hang out while the other ones go off and do stuff with the kids.
Yeah, and you've got one that likes roller coasters, one that doesn't. Yeah, so I've been dealing with the same thing. Though we're starting to get the youngest more involved in the roller coaster thing.
Soon.
Let's see. Trader Sam's is not Trader Joe's. Did I say Trader Joe's, or is that mentioned? I hope
I didn't
say Trader Joe's.
That's a grocery store.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right. Okay. So, and Ladwig's like, Rick, let's go. If you guys are going, I'm going. I worked for the Mouse. I worked for the Mouse in a previous career. We did a week of training there.
Did you DJ for the Mouse?
No, I did not DJ for the Mouse. No, this is different. But we got to do a week's worth of training there, as well as every year they did an employee. I don't know if they still do this, but they did an employee trivia competition because Disney trivia is like a huge deal. And we had actually two members of our team qualify to go to the national competition there at Disneyland. We went to support them.
Wow.
It was awesome. Actually, one ended up finishing third, I believe. But it's like random stuff. It's like, what's the name of the cow in, you know, this crazy movie that you may or may not have ever heard of? And it's really cool.
Completely tangential, because that's, you know, how we work here.
Do we just go off on tangents?
I know.
Yes.
I was listening to NPR on the way in the other day, and NPR was talking about a copyright issue going on right now between DJ Dead Mouse and Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, and so the mouse head.
The mouse head, even though he's got this stylized
I don't even want to get involved in that. I mean,
it's crazy because the patent office wants to do one thing, copyright law wants to do a different thing, and it's like, wow. I guess obviously Disney is one of the most protected brands out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Vehemently protecting their IP and their intellectual property. Yeah, so rather interesting. Fun.
Yeah, Shadlo did some training at the Disneyland Hotel. He's mentioning a reserved block of room. That's an awesome price that he mentioned there in the chat room for the Disneyland Hotel. Ladwig's going for D23. D23 is the big Disney fan conference. And he's splurging to stay at the Disneyland Hotel. That's insanity, especially during D23. But I remember, Sean, my rate back in the day, and this is several years ago, but the employee rate was just over $100 a night, and it was so fantastic. Frederick is asking, the Windows Phone app, is that called Azure Commander that you were talking about?
I've got to look now.
Okay, he's gonna look on his phone.
I'm researching.
He's researching. A few more people have joined the chat room. Claudia has joined us. Hello, Claudia. Hope things are doing well down there in the Texas end of the spectrum.
I hope our doggy's okay.
Yeah.
Her dog just went through some surgery stuff.
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
I follow the Twitters.
I'm way behind on the Twitters with all the meetings that have been going on. Mike McAtee has joined us as well. So welcome to you. I think that's everybody. I think we've gotten everybody there. So vacation coming up. That's what I have going on. So that's my From the Trenches story. So I guess the next thing to do is transition into while you look that up.
The name of the command of the blah, blah, blah guy is called Mobile Azure Manager.
Mobile Azure Manager. Manager.
Managing your virtual machines and cloud services now becomes a piece of cake using the mobile Azure Manager. Easily start and stop your virtual machines on the go and keep track of the virtual machine's core information. Reducing your cloud services costs has never been easier than before.
We do have breaking news on the show. Claudia's dog is doing much better.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Enrique mentions in the chat room that Azure Commander is Victor Willen's tool, and there is mobile Azure Manager. So if you're following along at home, J-Shock mentions that Azure Commander is a great tool. I'm going to have to check these tools out. Obviously, I've got homework to do after the show, after the big episode today. So the next segment of the show is... we actually have a sound effect for this. I'm falling behind because the last episode that we did, we didn't actually have a soundboard.
And we actually need to come up with a good soundboard.
Yeah, I need
especially
to do a little
movement.
More.
With
oh.
That.
Oh, man. Yeah.
See, I haven't had a beer in like 2 weeks. It's killing me.
Yeah. So it's beer money time. Beer money stories about supporting your friends, your family, your friends' family, your family's friends.
I've got a virus.
Your neighbors and everybody else. Well, yes, I know you have a virus.
No, not a biological virus. I have an actual virus.
Is it a virus or do you have spyware?
That I haven't investigated as of yet, but we have a HP TouchSmart 21-inch all-in-one device, one of the first-generation ones, inside of our kitchen area, as you know, because you've been to the switch bunker before. Apparently it is completely unusable. Someone, even though they were standard user, not administrative users on the box, has managed to get various different plugins and or toolbars and or other crap
yes.
on that box.
Now, I mentioned during the show last week that I was dealing with the same issue because of...
some damn website to go visit.
Yeah, it was an add-on for the Minecraft something or other. They wanted some
yeah.
something. And yeah, and I thought I cleaned it out. You know, because I logged in with the administrative account, went in, did all of the things, the process explorer stuff, the Recinovich tools, ran some anti-spyware software, thought it was all cleaned out, and come to find out that there is one process that is even allowed to run as a standard user that does nothing but reinstall it afterwards.
Nice.
So when I thought it was completely cleaned out, everything was working for several days. And then all of a sudden...
The cat came back.
Yeah.
You couldn't stay away.
Yeah, exactly.
You sit on the front porch the very next day.
Sean Lowe, you're absolutely correct. And that add-on website for parents, that would be fantastic, particularly for those of us who... for some parents who are not necessarily the technical and who pay attention to every little thing.
The scary part is the mods, right?
Well, and that's like, the thing, yeah.
People basically go in and obviously... put malware infection routines on the websites where the kids go to learn about the mods and get browser compromises take place that way.
To be clear, this is not the fault of Minecraft itself.
No. This is just simply the community because it's a...
Yes.
I mean, you think about it. You've got a user community of genuinely... of a large percentage of less technical people that are trying to do technical things. Because it's not an easy thing to be able to go off and to put mods on top of Minecraft and
right.
modify the Java virtual machine and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, they're easy prey. And, you know, so I've basically put down a rule at my house. There are no mods to be installed. I don't care if you're hosting.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're doing whatever. You're playing Scratch default. That's it. You can attach up to modded servers and have fun playing that way.
Yeah.
But you will not be installing mods because I am not supporting them.
I've kind of put down the law for right now. If they want to play something on the PC, they go into my unmodded server. Otherwise, you play on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, because on the Xbox, you don't have to deal with any of that drama, all of that nonsense. But regardless... we talked with Mark Krasinovich. You talked with Mark Krasinovich, name drop, during your session on Channel 9 Live, and he mentioned the same thing, that there was a piece of malware that he thought he had cleaned out. So I'm not feeling too badly that I actually, because he mentioned that he thought he had gotten it all and there was apparently something else there. I don't feel too badly. If Mark Krasinovich can miss something, I don't feel like my technical card should be taken away because I missed
something. So my plan is I'll be basically this evening sitting down with a nice cup of tea or maybe a hot rum toddy or something like that because I'm feeling kind of frisky and want to have some level of alcohol in my body to help cleanse the system. So a hot rum toddy is always kind of nice. And then going through and dissecting and removing stuff, which will be my fun entertainment for the evening, perhaps.
Yes. Sounds like a fantastic Friday night.
But the problem is
or
that...
Or not.
But the problem with that is that I'm finding more and more I need to have more freaking systems at my house. All my kids want to be online all the time.
Yeah, that's a battle that we've been kind of dealing
like
with.
My wife has her laptop.
Yeah.
And I've only set up her account to be authorized to be using of that laptop. But she started to let the kids use her machine. I'm like, you're opening up just can of hurt. Don't do it. Don't do it. Especially since my wife does not run as a standard user.
Hang on a second. So in the chat room, they're mentioning the new Patch and Switch stickers that you got.
Yes.
In addition
which
to...
Which I forgot to tell you about.
Yeah, well, right, because you created a personal branded one, and
yeah.
You think it would make sense that we would do the order at the same time, given that, you know, and, at any rate. And Frederick didn't get one. How did that happen?
Well,
it's probably because you were not around.
Freaking Black Death is how it didn't happen. Let's just say I've got 5 packages of these stickers, and I was planning on passing most of them out, and I think I passed out not even 12 stickers.
Yeah.
So I've got a ton of stickers.
Yeah, and so I'm going to be getting some as well.
Hmm?
I'm going to place an order, so we'll have to collaborate next week when you're back to normal and your brain is actually fully functional.
Yes, because it's definitely not right now.
Also, I have to also mention to you, and I don't know if you know this because I think you were gone this day, I went and visited our friends at BIT Ready.
Ooh.
They're the
folks that are behind a lot of the graphics of you and I doing stuff. Right?
Yeah, the little 8-bit kind of video game. Looks like we should be playing, I don't know, Donkey Kong or something. But man, those folks over there were super excited. They were really, really bummed out that you couldn't make it over and that you were feeling ill. They wanted to pass on, get well. And
Did they make a graphic of me being ill?
No, I don't think they did. Although I think now that you mentioned it on the show, what is going to end up coming out. No, fantastic people. So I want to thank them publicly for all of their support, as well as they wanted to pass along their greetings. They felt bad that they were super excited that I came by to say hello. We did the photo op and posted on Twitter and stuff. But I wanted to mention that because it was there.
The biggest part that I was bummed out about was that I couldn't go and just hang out with people.
Yeah.
You saw me the night of the welcome reception. Experts night and that sort of stuff. I was not in a state to be standing.
No,
walking around. So.
Well, and we even met with the round table where you were just basically sitting and you just...
It was nuts, man.
Yeah, that was crazy. The other thing, too, is I rely very heavily on your ability to go socialize when I get tied up in the evening events, particularly when I do the DJ thing and I have to do sound checks and then, I go up into the DJ booth and sometimes... one of the great things, also big thank you to Carpe Diem and the UK team for having me DJ at Country Drinks. Also, Opium Nightclub, I want to thank them as well, as they did, they hosted the office party. So I want to shout out to the office team. That party was nuts.
I heard there were confetti cannons.
Confetti cannons and
CO2 cannons.
Yes.
And I was not involved.
No, I don't think we would want you involved because you would want to increase the pressure by 40%. Boom, and then instead of the confetti coming out, there's just an explosion because it's been clogged.
That would have been awesome. I think you got to put that into your rider for the next performance.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick's joined us. Want to send a shout out to Patrick.
Your superhuman skill, DJ, entertainment, everything else like that, it's very much... your persona, and there's no way that I can contribute to that. But now I figured out that I can contribute to it by being your pyrotechnics person.
You know what? We need to find a way to make this happen. We do need to find, because if there's one thing that you're skilled at is pyrotechnics.
Pyrotechnics. I am licensed to hurt myself. And I also tend to have a good sense of rhythm, so I can take subtle body cues from you when it's time to go off and go on fire different types
of things. I have to tell this story. I know we're going off on tangents again, but we've got an hour show. We still have 25 minutes left to go.
An hour?
Yeah.
I forgot we switched the format.
That's right. We did. I'm going to go off on a tangent here. At Carpe Diem, so both Carpe Diem and Opium. Opium was the big office party. That was kind of the big. I kind of kept things pretty chill at Carpe Diem. Played more of a house set, some of the stuff that I play on House Beat Radio. Saturdays, noon Pacific time, 8 p.m. UK time, housebeat.eu. Shameless plug. I'm part of the show. I can plug my other show too, right? That works, right? At any rate, I kind of kept that chill, but the Opium Party was the one with the confetti cannons and everything.
Open up all the stops.
And the guy who was in charge of that and the lighting and everything and the sound didn't speak English.
Nice.
So, and my Spanish.
And you said bomba, bomba.
No, that's not.
That's the food.
Bomba's just the food. So basically what we were to, I managed to learn just enough Spanish to be able to communicate and get the cues relatively close. But it was a riot, and he was awesome. It was very difficult, though, when they were trying to get me to stop because I had gone 35 minutes over time. This is becoming a trend where at some of these big parties, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, party ends at 11:30. It was 12:30 before I finished.
Nice.
And they're like, okay, really, the club's open. We need to move out. We need to put the other DJ on. They're trying to communicate this to me, and I don't speak Spanish, very little Spanish. And then when I was trying to tell them one more track, that this is the last one, and I was finished.
All of a sudden, the cannons would fire.
Yeah, exactly.
One more track. Boom.
Boom. Yeah, exactly. But it was fantastic.
No.
It was fantastic. Frederick, grande cerveza. That's the Uma cerveza. Is another one. I really didn't know much Spanish, but it was fantastic. But a good time had by all. So thanks to everybody who was there. But that was a funny story. Just not communication barriers, right? And just trying to communicate. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And I think we've set the bar really high.
Yeah.
Confetti cannons, CO2 cannons, big nightclub. I am really excited to see what's going
to
happen in Chicago.
According to our officially published Tier 1 events and activities for H2 that's publicly visible.
Yes.
I guess you need to start to figure out if you're going to be involved with Build, perhaps, somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
MS Ignite.
Well, so Ignite, as it stands right now, Ignite looks like it's going to occur for me. That I'll be there.
Of course it's occurring. We have the venue. We have the...
Yes, so I know. But it looks like that I should be attending.
Nice.
At least that's the hope. And I'm just wondering, when you set the bar...
Put it in the dryer,
is it pyrotechnics now? I mean, is it literally fire? Is that the next step that we go? I don't know that we're licensed appropriately for that, and there's enough insurance to cover the fact that you want to do anything related to fire.
Yeah.
Or I'm on stage anywhere around
fire. It's compressed gas.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Because
no
nothing could go wrong there.
Just slight freezing capabilities.
Oh yeah, maybe. Enrique, I love this. I should start a service on instant Spanish translations. Trouble safe and trouble ready would be the two tiers. I'm with you on that. I may actually. Is that on demand? Is that kind of like a cloud service? I only pay for what I use.
Nice.
That's a question. And then Claudia could have helped us as well. With translations, and though we had several people who did speak Spanish that were around us, it was hard.
Did you know there's a referendum going on this weekend in Catalonia?
No.
About separation.
Yeah, so there were a lot of protests and things about that while we were there. Luckily, not in the areas that we stayed, but close to the venue, actually,
yeah.
I believe there were.
So basically, they've actually got a referendum going on. One was challenged by the court of law from the state, and then the other one they're just going to do anyway separately and stuff like that. So interesting tidbits.
But Barcelona was fantastic. It was a good time. All right, so we're going to quit talking about it because everybody in the chat room
is bored as hell.
Yes, probably. Michael Sands has joined us as well. Want to send a shout out to you. Welcome to the chat room. Thanks.
So basically, we've got some malware and viruses we got to deal with on the short term.
Yeah, I believe I've got that kicked. We've been for 3 days now.
So my issue right now is I don't know if it's worth my while to try to forensically find it or just kill the box, because there's no data on the box. All our stuff's in the cloud, and literally I could just do a format redeploy and get 8.1 update on it and just simply have fun with it, be done with it, as opposed to having to go off and forensically troubleshoot this.
F-disk it and move on.
Basically, it's what I'm thinking to do.
Think you should.
I have to start thinking along the lines that you and I were talking about earlier with treating your devices as cattle as opposed to as pets, right? There's no specific data on this kind of thing anymore. I mean, think about it. When you're deploying a new workstation these days, most of your stuff is not on the box anymore. Like, it's on OneDrive for business. It's on OneDrive. It's on and synchronized across your Microsoft accounts.
Yep.
And potentially as part of your company portal for apps that have to come back down again.
Yeah.
Like, once you initialize those different devices and services, you're up and running. You don't care about what's on that box. So, like, troubleshooting? Why bother?
J-Shock just screamed in the chat room, scorched earth. Just destroy it. Just go. Just wipe the thing out. Don't mess with it. Because, look, I can tell you from my experience, I spent probably about 2 hours of scanning various processes, running various softwares to rid myself of the malware. You could have a new system installed in 45 minutes.
And on top of that, I can take advantage of this opportunity to pick up. I think I saw Dr. Pizza online talking about
Dr. Pizza.
Dr. Pizza is one of the Twitter guys I follow. He's a reverse engineer guy that I think used to work at Microsoft, but now he's independent. But he was talking about a dino deal that was happening over at Newegg or at Fry's for a 250 gig SSD drive.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of sales lately. I've been looking at the ads and
all
you can get
when
them
you sit down
cheap.
Next to this machine. All you hear is the hard drive going like crazy.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, well, good opportunity to simply crack this puppy open for the all-in-one device, even though it's not supported. who cares? You know, those little stickers that say void, warranty void if removed? Whatever.
Yeah, well.
Whatever.
Well, how old is this thing? It's the first gen, right?
Yeah,
it's out of warranty anyway.
Yeah, there's no warranty on this thing.
Yeah, so it's under the clause warranty.
You got it.
Yeah. Which leads us, that's a great segue. That was very well done.
I'm trying.
Great segue into the
there.
Third segment of the show, which is random spending. I tell you. Oh, hang on. We actually have a sound for that.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there you go.
Very smooth.
Yeah, you like that? We're nothing if not professional or lack of professionalism during the show. So you're talking about getting a new SSD drive for this all-in-one device. I'm hooked. I love my little Hutu.
Hutu.
It's a fantastic device that has the access point as well as a battery, external battery. For the vacation, I'm thinking about getting one of these 16,000 milliamp batteries.
Don't go above 10,000 milliamp hours.
No?
The reason why is because you cannot bring it on, carry on your flights. There is a limit with how
really?
Many, there's a limit for how many milliamp hours of devices you're allowed to bring. And
I didn't know that.
Now, I find it extremely difficult to understand how they would enforce this, but there's definitely something about lithium batteries with how large they're allowed to be, either in checked luggage or in flights. So double check that with your carrier.
So is it
that's why most
is it combined hours?
No,
it's just one
device. And so that's why you'll see a lot of them kind of crested around 10,000 milliamp hours.
Well, so this one that, and actually Harjeet posted it in the crew Facebook page, that was a 16,000.
Now, the trick with the 16,000 one is it a proprietary power pack you have to plug in to charge it?
No, it's actually just a 2-amp USB.
The first gen ones of those guys
used
to have a separate power supply. That was a DC, 2.1 amp power connector you have to always carry with you to charge the damn thing.
Yeah, no, you can just get a little 2-amp, 110, American plug to USB.
Mr. Patrick is saying he's never had a problem with his 20,000 power pack on board. That's the gas generator one, I think, that he has. Runs on white fuel.
I'm actually going to go and do some research then. I mean, because, look, for $30... I can get this. What is it? An anchor.
Yeah. I've got my $20 one. That's a 10,000 milliamp hour one. It charges two devices perfectly fine. And when we're on the road, we'll plug in two cables into that puppy and then charge our devices off of that. It works great. But I definitely saw an increased number of those devices by all of our colleagues.
Yes.
Because they're all running around with them, and they've got some pretty nice felt-looking ones, too.
They do. I was just thinking, I'm okay with getting, kind of the longer rectangle version, the 16,000 milliamp one, because I've got four devices I'm going to have to manage while on vacation. And everybody's phone is going to have to be charged at least once because of just the amount. You're playing games while standing in line.
Yeah.
Everything else. There's also some other ones that are going on in the chat room. People are talking about 3.1 amp. Yeah. Oh, and there's some PowerShell conversation going on there. I've lost. I'm completely lost in the chat room because we were talking about toys to get. And that, and so that's, you know, it's crazy because I've got a couple of smaller ones, you know, that I've gotten just through the years, and they'll charge one device for the day. But I'm thinking, do we carry around three or four of these, or do we just bring one big one? And they're it's still relatively light. It's not like it's a big deal to pack around.
My family definitely noticed when I took the wall wart plug-in device. So I've got that five USB hub charging device.
That thing was awesome to have around when we were up in Barcelona.
You have one plug to plug in. And then it gives you five USB ports on the outside, and there are two 2.1 amp sockets on that guy, plus a bunch of 1.1 and 1.0 amps to plug in and to work. It was great. Basically, you could charge your phones, you could charge your devices, you could charge your batteries. It was all good. All good.
Oh, this is a great conversation. This is why I love our audience. There was a question brought up in the chat room that's I've finally gotten up. Can you access OneDrive from a command prompt / PowerShell? Bjarne asked. And our awesome community gets in here. Frederick jumps in with a blog from the Scripting Guy Archive on how to use PowerShell with SkyDrive for automation. And then another one posted from PowerShell Magazine on using the Windows Live APIs from PowerShell. That's awesome. This is why I love this group of people in this show, is that, you know, I've had random questions. I had IIS questions in the last episode. Answered.
Can you imagine if we actually, publicized the show?
You mean market it, promote it?
The good that we could do in the world?
You know, here's the insanity. we don't do any, apart from, you know, us tweeting in the account, you know, tweeting
and
from the Facebook account
and
Facebook. Have you seen the number of Facebook likes we have on our page now?
It's crazy.
But I think we're over 800.
Yeah.
And we get literally 5 to 10 more a day, and I'm not doing anything. I don't promote it.
We've got the Channel 9 guys saying, we want you on our platform. We don't want you on
platform. Which is fantastic. Good thanks to them. But the great thing is we just don't do, and it's just been kind of cool to watch the momentum grow around the show. And it's even better the fact that we're answering, you know, questions on these. Patrick also posted something to email a 20,000 milliamp universal external power bank.
Nice.
20,000 milliamps. Can you charge a Surface with that?
That's my one gripe right now, is that there's no plug-in for the Surface other than the wall wart you have to use. That's my biggest gripe with the Surfi devices, because they've got the proprietary connection on it. No one's gone in and reverse engineered that connection to be able to turn that into a USB to even do a trickle. Pain in the butt.
It's 11 ounces. That's not. I'm looking at the link that he just posted. It's 11 ounces for
that's
that.
Almost 16,000.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Craziness.
That is a little insane.
So are we good with random spending, my friend?
Yeah, I think
batteries?
So. I think so.
My random spending has been limited to beer type stuff.
Oh. Well, we might as well transition to beer talk in the 5 minutes that we have left.
Very quickly.
Before we have to start wrapping the show.
Right. So very quickly, picking up odds and sods, little missing parts to be able to complement the beer brewing environment over at the Beer Team 6 Beer Cave. We now officially have a hardwired cable box permanently attached for football and for other activities out in the garage now, as opposed to having a steel one from one of the other rooms. So that happened.
Oh, did you actually get a dedicated cable box?
Dedicated cable box.
Nice.
Remember how I was having issues and I thought my router was the cause of these issues and sort of stuff? And you're talking about having to replace the modem that I have from Comcast. I had a guy come out and look at it and he says, why do you have a filter on your line?
Oh.
The original installer had put on a filter in case the signal was too strong. And he showed me the before pictures of what it looked like with all the strength on devices. Most of them were yellows and reds, and maybe one green for all the devices and access points that he checks. And then he just goes in, he takes off the filter, puts the thing back in again, checks it, resets the box, goes back to his remote web page that the service technicians have, bright freaking Christmas tree green all over the place as soon as he took off that stupid little filter that the damn installer had put on. And I haven't had a problem since with my internet dropping. Because basically what's happening is the signal will get too low, and the DOCSIS router would simply go in and reboot itself and then reconnect back up again.
We have beer breaking news. Beer breaking news from the chat room. It appears that Michael Sands has just discovered that BevMo, if you're here in the States, BevMo has Mac and Jack growlers for $8.
$8.
And there's a BevMo just down the street, dude.
There is. I know. I've been there. I'm familiar with that.
So breaking thanks, Michael. That is breaking news.
Very important.
I do believe that if there weren't 10 minutes left of the show, that we would actually have just up and run out of the room.
And gone mobile.
And gone mobile so that we were right there at 10 when they opened.
Very nice. I've also picked up some miscellaneous attachments for being able to prime the pumps, some dust caps to keep the dust out of the pumps.
Ah, brilliant.
Instead of having the things open on the sides. And also, I have retrofitted our old sight glass onto the beautiful new pot that was delivered over the time.
Oh,
so we now have a sight glass to be able to put in the graduated marks on volume on the sight glass as opposed to damaging the inside of the pot.
Right, which is the original
plan. So that's all set to go. This weekend, hopefully, if various sicknesses clear up, we're going to be making Scotch Ale. It's going to be Mr. J Shock's first inaugural brew that he's going to be
in charge of. Yeah.
And I think he's freaking out. I think that's why he's sick.
It's because he's freaking out about the beer. Yeah.
It's the pressure.
There is no pressure. It's just it's just brewing beer. Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
We were talking about Hans Quail?
Herm's
Quail.
Yes.
You wanted to go electric.
Did you see that?
I looked at it briefly, and I'm wondering why electric versus the coil we were looking at getting the stainless.
Okay, so the concept is getting a constant temperature that you can control out the other end of the coil. One way of doing that is to have a 50-foot coil submersed inside hot water that does the heat transfer between the hot water and the coil itself, in which case you have to moderate the temperature in a large body of water. The other way you can do it is actually in line with a electric water heater element. And these various different people have put together these kits of a 9-inch, 1.5-inch in diameter stainless steel tube, of which the water heating element fits inside, and then various connectors allows you to have an in and an out ports on those guys, including temperature monitor, which would then also allow you to attach a temperature controller. So it monitors the outbound flow of beer. And when that outbound temperature of beer falls below a threshold, it turns on the water heater element inside the center of the 9-inch tube and then turns it off again when it reaches the proper temperature. So it oscillates the on and the off of that particular thing.
But just using electrical so we are not burning through the gas.
So we're not burning through the gas, and it's also a smaller volume that you have to worry about heating.
And it's right around the same price, I think I saw, fairly close.
It's very similar to what a brewery would be using.
Yeah.
They typically would use either electrical or maybe a steam jacket to be able to control the temperature on larger things. And this device literally is about the size of, your Surface. So...
It is close to the same amount that we would have spent to buy stainless steel coil. Yeah.
I've actually been looking at how to make one of those from spare parts, and you can do the parts for about $9.
So that beats
the price of the pre-made kit, which is $16 beer dollars.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of just finding all the proper parts to make it all work together.
Hmm. Interesting.
And then you trusting me having electrical...
I don't know...
Electrical wires close by liquid, which typically is not a fun thing.
No, that's not. Yeah, because I believe the coil itself was $14 or $15 beer dollar anyway.
Yeah.
By the time we got everything,
and then
done,
you got to be able to get the connector ports on, and you got to sacrifice the pot to be able to make it work, and all sort of stuff. So,
Frederick, you have an amazing idea. Thinking of doing a beer advent calendar this year, 24 different beers until Christmas. My name is Joey Snow, and I approve of this. Request. Yes, that is fantastic.
I think we should definitely set something like that up.
That is awesome.
My funny story, quickly, about beer.
Quickly.
Before we go with the naming segment. You know I'm lagering, right?
Yes. Are we close?
The Maybach needed to be lagered, which is...
Well, we're at least three weeks lagering.
The problem was I didn't get a chance to finish off putting the guys into their lagering containers before leaving for Barcelona. Our friends on Beer Team 6 were not available to assist while we were away, and so they basically were just sitting in a stasis place waiting for things to happen, which is perfectly fine. Got back trying to stay awake, sort of sick, I managed to get our neighbor, who's a member of Beer Team 6, to help out. We now have three containers all set to go to be lagered.
Mm-hmm.
So I clear out the lagering fermentation chamber that I have that has temperature control on it. And basically that means lifting a bunch of stuff out, moving temperature sensors out of the way, electrical cables out of the way, putting stuff inside of it, and then closing the lid, and then setting the temperature sensor for 40 or 50 degrees.
Sean Lowe posted craftbeerimports.ca that there is a beer advent calendar FAQ.
So
that's fantastic.
Picture me trying to get these guys all to a standard 50-degree temperature. And then I come back 2 days later, and I find that they are frozen frickin' solid.
No!
Because I left the temperature gauge outside of the fermentation chamber,
so
the freezer was on full freaking blast for 2 days.
So is the beer ruined?
Well, the yeast was already gone anyway.
Well, sure.
Right? But it was frozen solid, like three freaking popsicles encased in metal.
Oh, no.
And then I had to basically take about 3 or 4 days to gradually thaw these things to not blow the kegs, which they're now thawed, and I'm now starting the lagering process.
Talk about cold filtering.
Yeah, it's definitely cold filtered.
Hey, we've reached the part of the show where it's time for you to help us name next episode, which will be in 2 weeks' time, where I will just be coming back from a holiday, from vacation. It will be, in case you can't hear him because he's shouting from the back of the room, that would be on the 22nd of November, so just before the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay, I'm just back from Orlando at that point. So I'll be here for it, too.
Sorry, the 21st. Yeah, the 21st.
I fly back on the 20th.
Oh, okay, brilliant. So, you're going to be a hot mess of fun.
Yeah.
You're going to be a hot mess of fun. Yeah, I do. So naming the next segment, we are going to ask for three words from the folks in the chat room. Now it's two because Patrick says Advent.
He was the first one in there.
So let's go with that, Advent. We're looking for two other words from the folks in the chat room to name next week's episode. This week was Fish Hook. I don't remember the second one. Second word, Pat says shenanigans. So we're going to go Advent shenanigans.
This one was Fishhook Math name drop.
No, Fishhook Math hashtag name drop. For the first time we ever did a hashtag. So we're at Advent shenanigans. Are you writing this down?
Oh, yes, let me get
you're in charge of this.
Yeah.
I actually had to go back and watch the replay of the last show. Bjarne, we've already done that word. We can't use beer. We've already done that. We've done that several times.
Come on, anybody?
Anyone? A word that we've not used recently. We use beer all the time.
Come on, Jim, PEI dude, someone down there where he should come up with a name. Like lobster.
Beer belly. Okay, I'll go with that. Sean Lowe says beer belly.
What is it here?
It is Advent shenanigans beer belly. Advent shenanigans beer belly. Ooh, I like that one too, Power Brick, but we'll save that. Oh, One Wise Geek jumps in with Cheetos. Oh, you know what? I have
you guys
to say this.
Closer.
The thing, I got home from the trip to Barcelona when the car dropped us off. I walked into the house. Dinner was cooking, but I was absolutely starving. And there was a big bag of puffy Cheetos sitting out on the counter. And
there's Cheetos in my house, dude. What's
that? Fantastic. You know, there's just something about just comforting things. And how about that Wagamama, huh, buddy?
Every time we managed to make it so that we coordinated our efforts to get access to Wagamama on the way there and the way back. And let's just say that was the first actual food that I had eaten in 4 days, and it was godlike, and it was ramen.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I tell you that we had almost 3-hour layover in Heathrow on the return trip. Yeah, they changed the Barcelona arriving flight into Terminal 3. We literally were running to get the ramen. But we made it happen. We made it happen. The band has come into the room. They're getting set up. So while they get set up to go, you have any closing thoughts real quick?
Thanks for sticking around, buddy. It's good to know you got your back and you got my back for whenever each of us happen to be sick or whatever or down
absolutely.
On our luck. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate everyone else that's also said some kind words in the last couple of days. It's been tough, man. Like, again, Barcelona, missed out on a bunch of folks. We had MVP Summit here this week, missed out on a bunch of folks. We'll meet a bunch of people.
I did
it's
well.
Been rough.
Meetings. So that does it for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Make sure you catch us in 2 weeks' time. Same place, blogtalkradio.com/patchandswitch. We're going to be 9 a.m. Pacific time. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. One Wise Geek, Bjarne, Claudia, Enrique, Esposito, Frederick, Jim, XPEI dude, Jay Shock. Hope you feel better, buddy. Michael Sands, Mike McAtee, Pat Strama, Patrick Scott, Ladwig, as well as Sean Lowe.
The orchestra is late, man. Where the hell are they? Come on,
they're
guys.
Playing. They're playing. Right. It's just quiet in the background.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's good. I thought they would be overpowering.
No, they're not overpowering. I've got them quiet for right now so I can do the shout-out.
Nice.
That does it for us this week. Hope to see you again in 2 weeks' time. Until then, have a weekend, everybody.